Amen. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we humbly and reverently come before thy throne of mercy tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, believing that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, believing, Father, that you came down with a shout, which is a message, we humbly and reverently approach thy throne of mercy tonight, Father, believing that we are getting ready, Father, for the soon going home. And your scripture says the bride hath made herself ready. So, Father, we just commit our understanding of thy word and the light which you have shed upon your word in this hour by thy light coming. And we know that that light is still here, the pillar of fire, for your prophet said the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. And so we commit ourselves to that leading of thee, Father, that we might follow, for sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And now I commit our leading and our being led. We commit it unto thee in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'd like to continue on our thought that we began Sunday on the image of the invisible God. And we spoke on God being invisible, which means not able to be seen. And we showed how scientifically he lives in a much faster dimension, and scripturally, one day with God is 1,000 years with man. Thus, God lives in a dimension that is much faster than ours, since the speed of light travels at 186,282 miles per second, whereas the speed of thought travels at 24 billion miles per second. So the speed of thought travels at 354,000 times faster than the speed of light. So we can see then a being that can travel like a thought, which is God, is so much faster than we travel in our dimension. In fact, when you think about it, before we even ask, God answers, so he travels even faster than a thought. All right? So we can see that that dimension that God lives in is so much faster than the dimension that we live in. And we can say scientifically the dimension that God dwells in is much faster than the dimension that we live in. So the shutter speed of our eyes cannot see that kind of speed, even as we can hardly see a hummingbird whose wings flap at 90 flaps per second. It's a blur to us. And yet a bumblebee is 240 flaps per second, which is, you can't even see the bumblebee's wings move. Well, we've got a God who, he's called the invisible God, and yet Paul called Jesus the image of the invisible God. An image is something that you can see. But getting away from that thought now, let's move on to how the image is made, how that image is the manifestation of the invisible God life. Now, the Apostle Paul told us it takes light to manifest all life. We see in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever thing doth make manifest is light. You know, you can take a plant and bring it in your basement, shut off all the lights, put it in a back room where no light can come near, and that plant will not grow. It takes light to bring forth life, you see? And from his sermon, Man That Can Turn on the Light, Brother Branham said, there's nothing can give you life but the spoken word of God. Life only comes by light. So it takes that Shekinah presence of God to bring life to the seed that's in you. So we see that the manifesting of himself to us brings revelation to us, for God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. But even more importantly than that is the fact that we have this great promise that when he shall manifest in his true character, so shall we manifest in our true character. And that is why I believe that if the word of God is being truly presented in an open and unhidden manner, you cannot hide if you tried. You just can't do it. And when that word is presented in such a way, you will manifest who you are, and you will make known. He will make known the counsels of your heart, and you will not escape it. For as surely as light makes manifest in the natural what life is in the seed, so too the light of the glorious presence coming forth from the vessel that is perfectly reflecting that light will most assuredly cause all that sit under that ministry or come in contact with it to become exposed as just what they are. And those who do not like what they see in themselves will not stay around to receive more exposing of themselves. Now we see in John 3:21, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, or that they had their source in God. And conversely, or just the opposite, We see in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So that ought to answer the question, why do some people want to avoid the truth? Why do some people want to avoid the light of God? It's because their deeds are evil. And Brother Branham said, what your deeds are here is a reflection of where you're going. Amen. Well, who wants to be called serpent seed? Right? But if you are, that's what you are. Like one man, Billy Paul, told a testimony about, he got a letter from one brother, and he said, you know, I was really excited. He said, I was going through the garbage can one day. He said, I was kind of dumpster, you know, dumpster diving. And I came across his book, An Eagle Stirs a Nest. And in the book, I found that Brother Branham was calling me an eagle. And so I was so excited, he said, I gave it to my boss. And my boss read it. He said, don't ever bring that trash around here again. The man called me a buzzard. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Light will expose what you are. Amen? All right. And it says that for everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. In other words, manifested. So light upon the seed will always manifest the seed, no matter what kind of life what kind of a seed it may be. Now, with that in mind, let's look to the Word of God in John 8:32 to see what it tells us about every seed manifesting by the light. Because here we find Jesus having a real debate with the most religious people of his age. That's the Pharisees. John 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, that statement by itself, that ought to shut the doors of many churches. She ought to shut the door, because the people ought to walk out when they're in a church that puts them under bondage. It says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, see, he talks about bondage. How sayest thou, you shall make us free? And Jesus answering them said, verily, verily, in other words, of a truth, I say unto you, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And remember, Brother Branham said, sin is unbelief. He says, smoking and drinking, that's not sin. That's just attributes that you don't believe. You see? But Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commit a sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now, the word hear means to understand. You see, you cannot understand my word. That's why he says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Because you cannot understand my word. You cannot hear. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. You see, what is he quoting there? Every seed after its kind. Genesis 1:11. You see? He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince or accuse me of sin, of unbelief? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus, notice how they always attack the character. They can't go back and say, okay, wait a minute, I've got other scripture, and we'll fight. No, scripture doesn't fight scripture. So they have to resort to character bashing, character assassination every time. Well, Jesus answering said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory, and there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answering then said, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say that I don't know him, then I would be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now who is talking? It was the Father in him. Again, we see in Matthew 23, verse 27, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto all men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, and you garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and you say, Well, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Whereof ye be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? In other words, they were admitting, well, if we had been in the day of our fathers, we would have been different from our fathers. How can you? The law of reproduction says you would have done the same thing. He took their argument that they tried to say, well, if it had been our day, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. He said, no. He said, you say, well, if we would have lived in the days of our fathers, he said, well, now, just a minute. You're claiming them as your father. If you're claiming them as your father, then truly, it's because every seed after his kind, you would do the very same thing. Now Jesus says, fill you up the measure, the metron of your fathers. And the Greek word plural, it means to carry into effect or bring forth into realization or manifestation. What things Jesus is speaking of being brought into realization? It is a measure of their fathers, which is the Greek word metron, which means the rule or standard of judgment. Therefore, Jesus is saying, bring forth into realization and carry into effect the standard of judgment that your fathers used. Because let's face it, you cannot do outside of what you are genetically disposed to do. I don't think there's a one of you in here that could high jump 7'6", no matter how much you're taught. You don't have those calves, put it that way. White man don't jump or can't jump, right? It takes special, of course, what's the name was white, but he could do 7'6". But the guy that did the Fosbury flop. But anyway, you just don't have it in you. I couldn't dunk the ball if I tried. Even when I was in my best physical shape, I think the best vertical jump I ever had was a 18-inch. And one of my best friends on the football team, or one of the guys on the basketball team when I was there, Ray Williams, he had a 42-inch vertical jump. Now that's like almost three times what I had. But he was made different. You know, and so it's in my DNA not to jump. That's fine. You know, that's good because in the ministry you don't want to be jumping after this and jumping after that. You want to kind of be stable, right? So that's good. God made me a certain way. All right, but anyway, notice then in 2 Timothy 1:10, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the conduit of the gospel. So God shone that gospel because the gospel is the light unto our path. Now how else could we manifest with him? He is the word. Then we must become a perfect reflection of that same word in order to manifest as he manifests. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice that he said the life is the light of men. His life is his light or his word. If he then is our life must come from his word. Then when His word shall manifest itself, our life must also manifest the same thing. Because He said, if He that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He shall also quicken your mortal body. That's His body. Then as He is, so are we in this world. Exactly what He said. Then when His word shall manifest itself, our life must also manifest the same thing. Then as Paul said, it is not really our life, but His life in us that is manifesting. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Then what is manifesting? It can only be His word. Then where does fear fit into that? Not at all. He said He hasn't given you the spirit of fear. He's given you the spirit of adoption, whereby we might cry, Abba, Father. I identify with you, Father. Paul said, not fear. He said, but of the spirit of a sound mind. A sound mind isn't afraid. Now, children get afraid. Children get afraid. But if you've got a sound mind, brother, sister, you're not afraid. Because you know it's coming. You just take it like a man. If you know you got it coming. Now, so fear has no place in the kingdom of God. But fear is one of the main rules that are set up to hold and maintain a large body of people. You know that? Can you imagine in these gulags, you know, these internment camps, these prisons that they had in Nazi Germany? The Jews walked passively into those furnaces. They walked passively in because there was maybe one German with a gun for every 200 of those Jews. Now, that tells me, brother, sister, that was fear that brought on their death. Now, I don't know if you ever saw the film. It was a true story about Sobibor, escape from Sobibor. But there came in a Russian soldier, and he said to these people, you know, there's a lot more of us than there is them. So they made themselves weapons, and they had set up everything, and the timing was right. So those people went in and did their chores, and when they went and did their chores, and you know they're supposed to clean the boots of the general, this and that, they just slit the general's throat. And they took out every single prisoner, and they walked out, the whole camp walked out of that prison. But see, like this country now, they're setting the people up for fear. Fear about this, and fear about this, and fear about this, and people are just afraid, and they're giving up all their liberty because they're afraid. And don't they do that in the churches? The people walk in and they're afraid to say anything contrary because they're afraid that the pastor is going to blast them or throw them out the door. Well, if the pastor throws you out the door, just go somewhere else that you're accepted. My goodness, I don't understand this fear tactics that's being used out there. I understand it. Believe me, I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to hold their crowd. But you don't hold people. You don't hold the righteous seed of God that way. You can't bind the righteous seed of God. I've done the example up here before years ago. I showed you where Jesus said that the tares are bound into bundles. And so we took a little cord or we took a rubber band. And we had toothpicks. And we put them around the toothpicks. You could bundle toothpicks. Then you get bigger sticks. You could bundle them together. And see, you can't bundle toothpicks with the big sticks because they just fall out of the bundle. But, you know, you have to have a denomination or a certain value and a certain, you know, which is a height, length, width, those kind of things. Then you can bundle them easily. But try to bundle with a rubber band or with a string or anything, a whole bunch of seeds. Just sit at the table sometime. See if you might have the patience to try it. Sit at the table sometime and take a string and just try to do a bunch of seeds. Try to take even a thick rubber band and bundle more than two seeds. I doubt you'll be able to do it. You see? Because seed can't be bound. They can't be bound. Because God is giving you the spirit of wisdom. He's giving you a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He's giving you a spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. To people that are bound by fear, brother, sister, have not matured. They are not into the sonship yet. They're still in an infantile where the child is afraid of everything. You shut the lights off, they whine. You know, you put them to bed, they whine. They're afraid. They got to be with mom or you know or dad all the time, constantly. That's childish thinking. But Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted like a child and I spoke as a child because I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish thinking. You see? Fear has no place in the kingdom of God. Every time the angel of the Lord came, 62 times in the scripture, he said, "Fear not, for I've come from the presence of the Lord." But fear is one of the main rules or the main stratagem that holds people, binds people in a large body usually, to that body. Notice, but he has abolished fear and death. He's done away with it. In Jeremiah 23, verse 1, it says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more." Wow. You mean there's two different type of ministers? Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying here. Shepherds that cause fear and shepherds that they will fear no more. You see? "Nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." I like that. Because God does bless his children. Amen. Now notice the very next thing Jesus tells us here. Verse 43, "For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, for every tree is known by his fruits. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of the bramble bush do they gather grapes." And we know that in the message, "Anointed Ones at the End Time," Brother Branham taught us that the fruit is the teaching of the season. What they are teaching for the season. In other words, the fruit is what they're teaching, the fruit of their ministry. And he tells us that if you are a good tree, then you cannot teach error. Your teaching will be right smack on target. For the word sin means to miss the mark. But the word righteousness means to be rightly wise. Righteousness is rightly wise. And how could you be a righteous man if you are an unrightly wise in your thinking? In other words, how can you do good things if your thoughts are evil? It's like, you know, we want to negotiate with terrorists. What's there to negotiate? He's going to tell you what you want to hear, and then he's not going to do the same as he tells you. You know, that's why I don't understand these politicians that are selling their souls out to the New World Order, to this, you know, they're selling their nations out all around the world to these guys that'll just, they don't, you know, as soon as they're done with them, what will they do with them? Just exactly what Stalin did with the people that, you know, they helped him get in power. Then what did he do? He had them all killed. You know, is the on the universities over in China, these places, you know, the real ultra liberals, you know, the professors especially, that's usually the one, and because of the free thinkers, you know, and they were the ones helped Mao get in power. And then what did he do? First thing he did, he ground them all up and killed them because you don't need them anymore. That's exactly what they did in Uganda. Idiot. He was an idiot. You know, a witch doctor told him if he ate the heart of his son, he'd never die. A year after he ate the heart of his son, he was killed. So, you know, I mean, the guy's an idiot. And he killed his son on top of it. They're just blatantly, they're superstitious devil worshipers. That's all I can say. Well, anyway. Now, so he tells us a good tree cannot teach error. Your teaching will be right smack on target. For the word sin means to miss the mark, but the word righteousness means to be rightly wise. And how could you be a rightly wise man if you are unrightly wise in your thinking? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. Now remember, the heart represents the understanding. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. That's how he brings forth out of his mouth. Now, in the light of what Jesus is saying here, he's saying if your understanding is good, it will bring forth good things. And if your understanding is evil, then you will bring forth evil things. An evil man speaks evil. A good man speaks good. Now, in 1 John 3 and 10, it says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." So they're both manifest. "Whoever doeth not righteousness, not that which is rightly wise, is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother." 1 John 3:8. He that committeth sin, unbelief, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, you've got one on one hand, one on the other hand. In 1 John 3:5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So if you recall, several years ago, I preached a series on the garden of your mind and showed that the mind is like a garden. And in it are planted many seeds. And the seeds that are planted in your mind are those things that will become manifested in your life if you water them. Therefore, whatsoever you sow, you will surely reap. And therefore, what things you are feeding your mind will become manifest in your life. Now this is the end time, and people must manifest what seed that they are. And we know that whatsoever doth make manifest is manifested by the light. That's Ephesians 5:13. So then we must understand that all seeds here on earth must come to a manifestation of what they are, and the nature of the seed that they are, will manifest itself openly once that light strikes the seed, because that is the law of God. That's the law of life in Genesis 1:11. Every seed must bring forth after its kind. So Jesus continues, as we read from verse 46, and why would you call me Lord, Lord, and then do not the things which I say? Like Brother Bram said, well, he said Jesus might be your Savior, you Baptists, but he's not your Lord. Because if he was your Lord, you'd be obedient to him. You do the things that he say. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, why do you say Lord, Lord, and you don't do? You don't do. See, they're afraid of this thing called works. I'm not afraid of the thing called works. Whatever works God wants me to do, I will do. Not that I have to, but that I want to. Like Brother Brown said, I can do anything I want to do, but I only want to please him. And when you get it in your heart that the only thing that you desire in your whole heart is to please your Father, you won't do the things that are displeasing to him anymore. And it won't be a hard thing for you not to do those. It'll just be just out of the love, out of the goodness of your heart. Why would you want to hurt him? Why would you want to do something that would, you know, reflect badly as him as your Father? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. There you go. There you go. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Is it? I ask every one of you. Remember, if one finger goes out, there's three coming back. So I ask myself the same thing. Well, see, the life in the seed must move on. It's got to. We show that in the natural, the life that is in the seed, once it is planted and the light strikes it, the life in the seed brings into its journey towards manifestation of itself. In other words, towards an expression of what life and nature is intrinsically in that seed. Now we know that until the light strikes the seed will not manifest the innate nature of the life that lays within it. So it takes the light to manifest the life. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said, as I mentioned again and again over here in Ephesians chapter 5, what makes manifest is light. And we know that Christ is the light of the world. John said in 1 John 3, he tells us all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. Now, if the life is the light of men, then if that life is in you, that light is in you. Right? And that light in you is showing you, it's discerning. It's discerning who you are. And it's also showing you what you should do, what you should say, where you should go, what you should believe. Because he said, if you be any otherwise minded, he'd reveal it to you. Reveal, to make known. So you cannot expect those who abide in darkness to understand the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:6, he says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, unto our opinion, our values, our judgment, which none of the princes of this world even knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit, that's God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What's the purpose then of God giving us his Spirit? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might have his mind, you see? Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, he doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them. It's impossible, because they are spiritually discerned. So unless you have the Holy Spirit, brother, sister, you can't really understand what we're talking about. You can't understand what the Scripture is all about. But they are manifest by the light, and that light is the Word. But if you abide in darkness, then how could you know the things of God? That's why, you know, it just cracks me up. You get these actors get up there and they might say, well, God bless you. Well, which God are you talking about? Most of them wouldn't know God from, you know, like Brother Vail used to use the expression, they wouldn't know God if he met them in their porridge. Now, 1 Timothy 5:25 says, likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are otherwise, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So as Luther said, he was talking about, you know, how in Romans chapter 9, where God was talking about, you know, the potter and the clay and this kind of thing. And he goes on to say, you know, God allows the rain to show the brilliance afterwards. You know, there's darkness to show the brilliance of light. There's a storm, and then after the storm, it clears all the air, and it makes everything beautiful. And so God has these contrasts in nature, darkness and light. You see? The darkness is to show you the beauty of the light. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. So if he is here, brother, sister, and it takes the illumination or the revelation or the word going forth in its power to manifest seeds, then he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Because why? He's a pillar of fire. He is the great light. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And in closing, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, and they are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you, therefore, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So you see, all those fleshly attributes, they just cause strife and division. But the true fivefold ministry is for the uplifting, is for the edifying, is for the building up of the body of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't walk in craftiness, nor do we handle the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And in closing, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. In other words, do we have the same life before God as we have before man? I hope so. That's my prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we just ask you, Lord, is our life the same when we're in the house of God as when we're in our own house? Is our life the same when we're on the job as it is when we're in the house of God? Is our life the same when we're out for dinner as it is when we're in the house of God? Do we speak that which is right? Do we tell if we speak things that are the things godly? Are they uplifting? Are they wholesome? Do they project love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and meekness and kindness? Or do they project envy and strife and division and those kind of things? Well, Father, we just ask you to help us to die to ourselves. Help us, as Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And Brother Brown said, Paul had to crucify himself daily. How much more do we? And so, Father, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we are living. But it's not our life that we're living, but it's his life in us that's living our life for us. And therefore, we can be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, because it's him living it for us. He which began the work is in us performing it. And so we're thankful for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine to all and give thee peace, and give thee peace.